Welcome, everyone. Is this on? Hello? There it is. Good to see you. Thanks, Diane, for that music. We're going to be singing, praying, and listening. And I'll be done here in a second with my part. But reminder that next week we meet at Freedon's County Line. And I'll be preaching then and playing my guitar and singing the song I wrote. Anyway, it's good to have you here. And are there any other announcements, joys, or concerns? Hearing none, the motion is passed. So let's stand and pass God's peace with one another.
Since we have gathered together to worship, let us join in the responsive call to worship. Come, all who thirst, come to the water.
You long for the water of life, come and drink.
Dip your soul in the river of God's goodness.
Quench your thirst at God's well of grace.
For God is here among us. And together let us join in the prayer. Loving God, we come this evening in hope, hope that sustains us in our trying times, our lonely times, our doubting times. Refresh us with the living water of your presence and love. Open us to the possibilities of peace, the possibilities of encountering you in unexpected ways, and the possibilities of seeing the miraculous in everyday love. Amen. I will sing of my Redeemer.
Thank you.
You know, we want to be good people, but we find ourselves often not doing what God asks us to do. The Bible names that as sin, names that as stubbornness, names that as wrongful action. And yet, God promises if we come before God with repentant hearts, God's love and grace offer forgiveness. And so let us together join in the prayer of transformation and new life. Gracious God, as we wander through the wilderness this Lent, we are more aware of our thirst for your presence, your love, your guidance on life's journey. Forgive us for turning away from you. Forgive our doubt and uncertainty that led us to place our faith in worldly comforts that don't run deep enough and don't last. We come to your well today, desperate and thirsty for Christ's living water. Quench our thirst, we pray. Grant us your forgiveness and your grace. Amen. The good news of the gospel is that indeed God loves us so much that in Christ God took upon his very self the penalties for sin so that we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Lamb of God.
Good evening to everybody. When I see the pieces of the worship service, I should have preached on the woman at the well instead of Mary and Martha. Actually, I could still do that, but I'm not going to. Because I have it right here. I have it with me. What I'm doing is part of some monologues that some women in the Wisconsin Conference put together called Four Mothers of the Faith, and they did this in, I can find it quickly, for 1994 for FaithWorks. They put this together, and people wanted copies of it, so they printed out some copies. It's a group of I think, 7 or 8 different women who were followers of Jesus. So our lesson for tonight is from Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." My name is Martha. I've been accused by some of being bossy, critical, and even a bit compulsive. But what I have been, I've had to be. The kind of work that I do and enjoy doing, like cooking and cleaning, mending, washing, marketing, and all of the other tasks that go into making a home comfortable for the weary, often goes unnoticed and unappreciated in my world. People tend to underestimate the amount of labor and talent it takes to coordinate shopping, preparing meals, tending to ill family members, and provide hospitality to guests. People like my sister Mary think because I'm always busy with housework, with my hands in a batch of dough or with soot on my nose, that I don't have a mind. Well, I do have a mind, and I meditate and pray, but people like me have to learn to talk to God with a broom in our hands. If we don't make the sacrifices to keep a home going, who's going to do it? Certainly not Mary. My name is Mary. My sister Martha and I have always been different. We talk and behave differently. We see the world differently. And I suppose we have different dreams. But then I'm different from most of the Jewish women that I know in Bethany. Ever since I was a little girl, I've never wanted to do anything other than read, write, and study. Mother would say, "Such things aren't permitted to Jewish girls, so finish peeling your onion." How I envied my brother Lazarus, peeling when he would leave the house every day with Father to study the Torah lessons. And then he would argue the law in the evening with Dad. He would recite scripture and exchange ideas about things that were sealed away as forbidden mysteries to me because I was a girl. My sister Martha is Father's favorite because she's always willing to serve and give herself to others. She has a gift for knowing just how to arrange the flowers, to cook a succulent duck, and to make everyone who comes into our home feel very welcome. Because of Martha's gifts, our home is known for its hospitality to friends and strangers alike. It isn't that I refuse to serve, but I want to learn more about the world beyond our home. I suppose you could call me the curious type. By listening to the conversations of the men who drop by our house to talk with my father, I learned about the political intrigues in Herod's court, the disputes between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the death of John the Baptist. On the day that Jesus came to visit, the demands of shopping, cooking, and cleaning had my nerves on edge. Imagine Jesus as a guest in your home. And maybe you'll understand why I was so anxious to make sure that everything was perfect. Oh, I know that my temper got the best of me and I probably spoke too harshly. But imagine what it was like to have 12 unexpected guests show up at your house. I expected the stranger Jesus, but my brother failed to mention that wherever Jesus went, his 12 disciples came too. I had to figure out how to make a fowl that was large enough to feed 4, stretched to feed 16. As I hurried from pot to pot, I grew more and more annoyed at my younger sister, Mary, for not helping me. As usual, Mary was engrossed in the men's conversations. She had even forgotten to offer our guests a bowl of water to wash their feet and hands after their travels. My sister Mary has always had a gift for making people feel important. She lends them her ears and her heart, and that's a rare gift. She's curious about the scriptures and the world around us. I suppose the only way I know to express my love and concern is by cleaning and cooking and fussing. If I'd been born a man instead of a woman, I could have been one of the disciples who followed Jesus. And I could have done as good of a job, if not a better one, than any of them in attending to the details of setting up all those engagements, arranging for the meals, securing lodging, and doing the host of other tasks that go into keeping a religious organization running smoothly. At least under my care, Jesus wouldn't have had to sleep in boats and on mountains. From where I was cooking, I could see the room where they were all talking. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening intently, oblivious to the dirt and grime on their feet. I'd heard rumors about Jesus of Galilee. Some thought he was a lunatic or a charlatan. It was rumored that he was a miracle worker. They said he healed the lame, restored sight to the blind, and made the insane sane again. Mothers sought him out to heal their children. They say even the winds and waves obeyed him. Many gave everything they had simply to hear him speak. As I sat at his feet and listened to his teaching, it was as though he was saying to me, "Mary, the kingdom of God belongs to you too." His words held me spellbound. That afternoon, I was so anxious that everything would go smoothly, anxious that our guests enjoy the meal I had spent over 3 days preparing, anxious that Jesus be impressed with all that I had done for him, that I resented the way Mary was getting all of his attention. Before I knew it, my irritation with my sister got the best of me. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." Everyone in the room fell silent. My brother Lazarus was horrified. I know I sounded petty and selfish. Jesus looked at me and said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled over so many things, but one thing is important. Mary has chosen the right thing and it will not be taken from her." I was hurt and embarrassed. It wasn't that Jesus didn't appreciate the effort and care that it went into preparing the meal or added burden of preparing for unexpected guests. He understood my frustrations. What he objected to was my attitude. I served, but I didn't serve with graciousness. In spite of all the sweat, energy, and love that I had poured into the meal for our guests, my disposition was canceling it all out. At last, someone has defended my right to learn. Jesus let me know that my thirst for knowledge was normal and commendable, and it didn't make me any less feminine. But my satisfaction soon turned to dismay when I saw the pained expression on my sister's face. Martha wasn't challenging my right to learn. She was simply challenging my right to do so at her expense. I was uncomfortable and silent, and I bowed my head in shame. My sister Martha and I are as different as night and day, and we'll probably never agree on everything. But we are sisters, and we have to support one another. Each of us have a right to be respected for our different gifts. To be honest, I have to admit that I have let Martha do the work around the house when I've been too lazy or too preoccupied to do my share. On the afternoon when Jesus and his disciples were at her home, I was free to sit undisturbed at Jesus' feet and listen because my sister Martha did all of the housework and the preparation for our guests. And I never even offered to help or to ask whether she wanted to join the conversation. I should have gone to her and offered the few domestic skills that I do have so that she would be free to join us. That way, all of us could have shared the afternoon with Jesus. How easy it is to think of what we should have done differently once we have already hurt the ones we love the most. I must ask my sister for forgiveness. My sister Mary and I have never been interested she's never been interested in housework. Why did I expect that evening to be any different? I had no right to attack her publicly, certainly not in a room full of men. I should have taken her aside to express my frustrations. Yes, Mary and I are as different as night and day, and we'll probably never agree on everything. But we are sisters, and we have to support each other. My Lord, how easy it is for sisters to abuse one another. I must ask my sister Mary to forgive me. How many of us see ourselves in one of those two women, or maybe even in both of them at times? Amen.
May we all sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all things flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Be seated. Thank you so much, Penny. It's wonderful to have you with our group tonight and hear your wonderful words. Now, are there any joys or concerns or things that we're grateful for that we'd like to share with each other before we pray? A smaller blizzard on Sunday. Now, my friend Larry's here today, and he always tells me that we'll get three more snows on a robin's back. Has anybody seen a robin yet? You have? Oh, most everybody has. Okay. So maybe these are the last three, although when he told me that saying, I don't think he limited it to three, just that there'll be at least three. But we'll definitely pray for a small blizzard on Sunday, or a smaller blizzard. Is there anything else we'd like to lift together in prayer?
God, I think I forgot to mention the offering goes to the McLeod County Food Shop.
Yes, the offering, the plates in the back, everything that we collect tonight will go to the McLeod County Food Shelf. And we will have a time of fellowship after service as well, and we're grateful for that. We thank you. Yes, absolutely. We pray for all those who are suffering from the violence of war, and we pray for its cessation.
Pray for the people in all these congregations who are suffering with health issues. I know of a couple at First Congregational. Since I'm
covering for Adam, so. Okay. Well, let us come together in prayer. After I finish this pastoral prayer, then we're going to finish with the Lord's Prayer. Holy and loving God, who is our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end. We confess that we do not always follow your will. We ask for strength during this time of Lent, during this time where we have the opportunity to bring to you all the things that are on our hearts and mind, and ask for your forgiveness. We thank you. We thank you for all the people that are here tonight and all the members of our congregations, for all the love that they give for each other, for how they serve both members of their congregation and their communities. We are so grateful to be part of such a loving family in Christ. We thank you this day for the help we give to the McLeod County Food Shelf and all those this day that are hungry and need food, or are cold and need shelter. We pray, Lord, that they're able to find that. And we ask that you keep our eyes open so that we're able to see the need that's all around us. We pray this day and ask that we may have just a slightly smaller blizzard on Sunday. As we get to this time of spring, we also know that winter is not over, and we ask that you keep us warm and safe. We pray this day for all those who suffer from the violence of war. We ask that you bring peace to the people all across this world. We also pray this day that you bring comfort and healing to all those that have physical health issues, mental health issues, or spiritual issues this day and can use your healing touch. Lord, keep us keep us healthy and strong so that we're able to do as much as we can for everybody in our communities. Now let us pray the prayer that Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior, taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let us pray together our unison prayer of gratitude and dedication. Life-giving God, we offer ourselves and our resources to you. Use us in our gifts, that we may be water bearers to a world thirsty for love, for meaning, for justice, and for hope. May all your people encounter fullness of life through the love of Christ, which lives within us. Amen. Now let's all sing our hymn, number 320, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you for coming out tonight. You could have went anywhere, but you decided to come in here and worship God together. That makes a difference to me, to all of us up here, and I hope to each and every one of us that came tonight. So let me send you out with this blessing. Oh God, your Son, Jesus Christ, enjoyed rest and refreshment in the home of Mary and Martha of Bethany. Give us the will to love you, open our hearts to hear you, and strengthen our hands to serve you and others for his sake, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Go in peace, my friends. Amen.